This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome in, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan on this Wednesday. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, buddy.
I never know when it's going to snow. I don't know how I fix this. I don't know if I need to start watching local news or just download some app that says, will it snow tomorrow? I wake up and I'm always shocked when I walk outside and it snowed.
We discussed this before the radio program started. I was in your boat. I was used to dress based on like what the weather was 2 days ago, just in terms of my adjustment period. I'm never very good at it. The only reason I know now is because I'm now part of that that group with the children. And when people have children, there's school involved. And when schools are involved, if there's even a hint, a rumor that in the next 6 weeks, something might fall from the sky, anything might fall from the sky, whether it's a meteor, which happened in Michigan last night, by the way, just, again, asteroid defense, or if it's snow or ice or water, whatever, the frantic tizzy that parents are rolled into about scheduling and schools, that's the only reason I knew that there was a hint of snow coming. Everything was fine. Everyone acted like it was panic.
But how does it personally affect you? Why do you have to know? Because you have to take your kid earlier or later?
Or there might be no school. I mean, this is a neighborhood school, so the idea that someone might have to go to the school and it not be open and then adjust their plans accordingly, panic sets in. The panic. It's unbelievable how upset they get. And I just am the recipient of emails and texts and whatever else. It's fine.
I wonder how much in the minority I am or if I am completely alone in the fact that I generally find out about snow when I open my door and see it.
I'd say you're in the minority.
This overnight snow
stuff.
Here's
why.
There was a time when I was in school and I was a student when I would sit there and I would stare out the glass of my back door onto my deck waiting for snow to fall.
Because you're a child.
Right.
That's what
waiting
you hope
for flurries, and you wait for accumulation. And you ask your parents 100 times, do you think we'll be out of school tomorrow? Do you think we'll be out of school tomorrow? It's a great feeling. Just looking back, remembering that is a fun part of my childhood. Now, I open my door and I go, "Oh crap! I gotta scrape off my windshield."
Snow is for children. Adults have to go to work.
I gotta get to work.
Luckily,
the roads were great
because totally
it barely snowed.
I'd say you're in the minority simply because there is nothing. There is nothing on this planet that local news people love more than any kind of weather situation. It sends them into overdrive.
And of all the weather situations, snow is the number one.
That's the one. See, they're just walking around with tuning forks in their pants. I mean, they are giddy, doing tap dances. They cannot wait to tell you about the snow. So they preview that there'll be snow, how it's going to affect you. Then they do post coverage of, we told you what the snow was going to do. The snow was going to come down. We were right at News Team 6. Again, no one cares. But so much back padding and so much congratulating themselves that they had something to do with the weather.
I have been at some of the local stations when they're ramping up for snow coverage and they're passing out the big heavy coats and they're getting everybody out of their normal department to get onto snow coverage. So your sports guys and girls are now going out to stand in the snow with their rulers.
I'm outside on a street corner and here's a ruler I'm sticking into the ground so you can see the ruler's now in the snow. Back to you guys in the studio. Go away.
One last thought on the snow. We've been lucky so far. Because we've gotten ground cover a couple of times.
Yep.
We've gotten what I consider to be pretty aesthetically pleasing. Look out the window and it looks nice kind of snow.
Little dusting.
Dustings. But we have not had what I would consider to be a big pain in the butt snow yet. We haven't had any kind of snow that's debilitated commutes.
Famous last words. It feels like a February situation now.
Absolutely. I understand. Well, I hope it's not in mid-February. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, buddy. It's the risk you run.
It's
start putting dates on the calendar, you put a flag in the ground.
But generally speaking, it does come later, right around February Super Bowl time, that you get that big snow. But so far, we have been lucky. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that.
I would like to continue to stay lucky if we could work that out.
I agree with
the
what
powers
you're saying.
That be.
Again, snow stinks. So does too hot weather in the summer. It should be mild. It should be 68 degrees at all times.
Did you hear what Jalen Ramsey, one of the best young corners in football, had to say about the Super Bowl when addressing Jacksonville Jaguars fans in their home stadium?
He did. He was under the impression, a really good player, by the way, young Jalen Ramsey. He was under the impression that the Jaguars were going to be participants in the Super Bowl.
He is under that impression.
He believed that, and he informed the crowd there that those were his thoughts.
Everyone's saying that he guaranteed a Super Bowl, which I think is misleading and incorrect. I don't think he guaranteed a Super Bowl. The quote was, and for those of you that missed this story, the Jags come back from their trek to Pittsburgh, where they had to go play the Steelers on the road, and they beat Pittsburgh 45-42. I guess they had like a powwow with their fans at the stadium when they got back.
Mm-hmm.
So while addressing fans on microphone, Jalen Ramsey, who is one of the leaders of their defense and just an outstanding young talent, said, quote, "I ain't got too much to say, but make sure you all bring that same energy out next week and the week after." He then screamed into the microphone, "We are going to the Super Bowl, and we are going to win that B. We are going to win that B." I can't say B because it's the B word, and he screamed it into a microphone, which he probably didn't need to do, but he did. So
yeah, rhymes with Lilo and Stitch. Good for him, I guess. It's caught on video now, so now we know everything. But
bulletin board material, yes. Guaranteeing of a win, no. Everyone's saying he guaranteed a win. Guaranteeing a win is going, I guarantee you we're going to beat the New England Patriots and play in the Super Bowl.
You got to use the word guarantee to guarantee a win.
You do.
Believe that you're going to win, said, I think we're going to win the game. That's a little different.
Tom Brady goes on the radio up in New England. Believe it or not, we're not the only radio show or radio station with a quarterback on. You would think we are with some of the coverage that we get sometime. But just about every quarterback in the NFL does a radio show on a local radio station. Brady is one of those passers. He was on WEEI, and he was asked about what Jalen Ramsey said.
What I've learned over a long time is it's how you play, and it's not what you say, and I think, you know, everyone has different ways of handling things. Coaches do, players do. We do what works for us. You know, those are other players that work for them. And, you know, the game's going to be decided by who plays the best, not who, you know, hypes the best or speaks the best. You know, he's a really good player. I've watched a ton of film on him. He's got a lot of strengths. And, you know, he's obviously very confident. That's reflected in how he plays. So, you know, I'm more concerned about how he plays as opposed to what he says.
Hyrode Brady. I was talking with someone about this yesterday, and a buddy of mine who's a Patriots fan said, New England always handles these things so well. And he's right.
It's true.
But he basically said, this is why they're so good, because they handle things like this. I think it's the other way around. I think they're able to handle things like this, and they're able to stay above the fray, and they're able to basically be the classiest guy in the room. Because they can be, because they have all the Super Bowls, and because they have been so successful, and because they are the team being chased, not doing the chasing. So if this is a chicken or the egg debate, I think Tom Brady's class and kind of staying above it here is basically permitted based on track record, where he doesn't have to engage. If you're Jalen Ramsey, you don't get to be holier than thou. You don't get to basically be the classy, well, we'll just see what happens. You're the one that's got to try to get into the head of the Patriots
a
little bit.
Punch up a little bit. I got no problem with that. Go back to 2001. What if the Rams were you know, barking at the Patriots?
Right.
You think they get to take the high road? I mean, I'm sure they would take the high road then, but nobody's going, oh, they handle it so well. Now that you've got this one ring for every finger situation, and you've had two other appearances where you probably should have won each of those games, now that you've accomplished all that, there, young man. Even if I lose this game, my legacy is still very much intact. You know what I mean? I've got a fast track. I've got an Elon Musk hypertube between cities to Canton. Thank you.
I might be colored here because I like Jalen Ramsey so much as a player, and I'm allowing that to affect my analysis. I didn't really have a problem with what he did. Now, if he came out and guaranteed they were going to beat the Patriots, maybe it's semantics. I would have thought that that was probably a dumb thing to do. But in an excited moment to scream to your fan base, yeah, be energetic, be this happy next week, be this happy when we're playing in the Super Bowl because we're going and we're going to win it. I kind of like that. It's like the scene in Remember the Titans when, you know, Herman Boone picks up his kids. He's running around in his front yard saying, we're going to win the state championship and let everyone know who's going to win the state title, and all the neighbors are coming out. And I think you're just excited and you're feeling yourself a little bit.
Saying stuff to your home fans after you had one of the more dramatic wins in recent memory, I have no problem with that. kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone loves to say bulletin board, so now the Patriots are motivated. Now they are.
They might actually be able to beat the Jaguars now because they care that much.
They weren't before. These are just storylines I think that people latch onto because it's interesting. It's out of the norm. But I'm with you. He's talking to his own fans. And I know it's on video and everything is now, and that's kind of how we are. But the fans that are there that, you know, sort of braved all the elements and everything, that's awesome. I got no problem with him saying that to his constituency, so to speak.
WEEI's interview with Brady also continued to cover the saga with he and Bill Belichick. And now he's just not engaging, saying that he's not allowing any distractions at this point.
No, I think we're pretty focused on what we need to do. I mean, this is a long time we've committed to each other. I mean, since really the team came back in April after the last season. I mean, April, May, you think all those months that we're committed to training and meetings and walkthroughs and practices and games and, you know, injuries and the emotion. And it's just, I don't think we're going to let anything get in the way of this week.
Let's open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines for the first time this morning at 800-636-1067 on Jalen Ramsey's comments that the Jags are going to go to the Super Bowl and they are going to win it. He said it differently, but that's how we'll put it on our show. First of all, how much of a chance do you give the Jaguars against the Patriots? Do you think they can beat New England? Can they dethrone the two best teams in the conference in consecutive weeks on the road? 800-636-1067. And if you're a Jags fan or maybe a member of that coaching staff, more importantly, and you see those Jalen Ramsey comments, do you have an issue with them at all, or are you happy that your guys are confident going up against the best team in the league? We'll take your thoughts next on Grant and Danny. Also, look over at the NFC matchup, the Vikings and the Eagles. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Phone lines are open for you at 800-636-1067. Jalen Ramsey into a microphone at the Jags home stadium, screaming to fans after they got back from beating the Steelers. Feeling himself, feeling the moment. Said, we're going to the Super Bowl and we're going to win it. What do you make of what he had to say? We played Tom Brady's reaction on WEEI radio from yesterday. Dan's in Fairfax. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Bob.
Chilling.
I like what Ramsey said. I think he's brash and bold and confident. Sort of like Joe Namath back in the day when he predicted that they would beat the Colts. I think Jacksonville has a chance, but it's going to be tough because, you know, what do I know? Every team I picked lost last week except Minnesota. So, Jacksonville has a chance. It's probably going to be close, but I would go with the Patriots. And when I was young, we used to go to Fernandina Beach, which is right near Jacksonville. So I guess that's why I have a soft spot for them.
Thanks, Dan. Hopefully the Jags get the win if that's what you're pulling for. I have been terrible at predicting games in these playoffs as well. Luckily, the Patriots have buoyed my record a little bit.
Sure.
I think I've probably missed almost as many games as I've hit. And generally in the NFL playoffs, it's not that hard to pick winners straight up.
You feel like you have a good feel for these teams. I guess my point with Jacksonville is, who on any pregame show, any talking head, right? I've seen Neil Greenberg say he's picking the Jags because of some metric that he found, and that's awesome. But for the most part, you're going to see that little Patriots insignia below everybody, on NFL Network, on ESPN, on Fox, on CBS, whatever, right? Everyone's going to pick the Patriots.
Just like you did with that Steelers logo.
Absolutely. So if you're facing that and you've got that powerful thing, it's hard to get. It's hard to get it exactly right. But the nobody believed in us, the only the guys in this locker room charisma, that's that secret formula that everybody wants. The Patriots always try to say nobody believed in us, but everyone believes in you. Like, you're the overdog at all times. If you get that little secret formula, this is how you have to behave. Because if you go out and lose, everyone expected you to lose, including probably most of your fan base. But if you go out there with a devil may care, we're going to smack them in the mouth and see what happens kind of attitude, and maybe we'll just have more points at the end, that's how you should be behaving, 100%.
And I generally don't have a big problem with doing a lot of barking as the underdog. Now, if you're going into a fight and you are McGregor against Mayweather and you're boxing, McGregor talking a lot of smack doesn't bother me because – my point is, if you just get into the ring and try to have a boxing match where this guy has his wits about him, you're going to lose. If you can get into his head a little bit, maybe you can get him out of his game. But you need to, because you're not as good as him. And Jacksonville needs to do that. If New England was coming out and talking trash right now, and Tom Brady was calling out Jalen Ramsey, you're saying the Jags defense isn't for real. That would make no sense to me. Do not give the team that isn't as good added motivation. But if you're the Jaguars and this is kind of the mindset you need to be in, I don't have as big a problem with that. Not to mention, Jalen Ramsey is superb. He is such a good young player, defended 17 passes this year, intercepted 4. He is one of the 5 best corners in football. I actually think he's probably one of the 3 best in the sport right now with Xavier Rhodes, you know, short group, maybe Patrick Peterson's the other guy in the conversation. He is a star. And so if someone on this team is going to do it, I would give him a pass to do it. I would give Calais Campbell a pass to do it. Like if Blake Bortles said what Jalen Ramsey said, I'd say, dude, calm down a little bit.
Hand the ball off and check it down like a good sport here.
I want you to go practice putting your arm out, extending the football so that Leonard Fournette can run by and make you look good.
Hey, bud, throw your screens accurately. Thanks, pal.
Let's go to Tom in Manassas. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Hey, Danny, I'm officially on board with beefing up our asteroid defense system.
Thank you.
Just for the record. But, I'm like Dan. I missed every pick last week. But I just think Jacksonville's got the makeup to hang with them. You know, we'll see, you know, going to New England stuff. But, yeah, I'm like you. I ain't got a problem with Ramsey saying it. But if a little comparison last week, I think a couple Steelers players said some stuff before the Jacksonville game. And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I think it's because what you said, Grant, like, you know, they're the big kids on the block. And,
right.
You know, what are you doing, like, running your mouth? You should be like Mr. Tom Brady, Mr. Perfect, who I'm sick of. But anyway, thanks, man.
Thanks. Yeah, if you're the favorite, it comes back to you don't need to tell people how good you are. And I don't even mean just it's annoying to hear that the favorite speak. I'm saying do not give added ammunition. Whereas if you're the Jaguars, the Patriots aren't even paying attention to you, really. And maybe it helps you in your own locker room to come off more confident. As if your teammates are looking and going, does he really think we're going to beat the Patriots? He's our leader. He's our best defensive player. So
maybe
we can beat the Patriots.
Well, go to last week. Le'Veon Bell talking about rematches.
The
favorite is Pittsburgh. They're playing in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's the entire world assumes an AFC title game, a rematch with New England and Pittsburgh. It went down to the wire, and Pittsburgh should have won the game, but they made up some rule and they did a super slow-mo thing, and a touchdown became a not touchdown. That was the thing everyone was looking forward to. We were already looking past it. Pittsburgh running their mouth, whether it's Le'Veon Bell or other guys, that becomes the story again. Now you get the camera in the face of Calais Campbell, and I forget the defender for Jacksonville that was barking at somebody else on Pittsburgh. That becomes cannon fodder. If Jacksonville goes into this game and loses, nobody's going to be like, and Jalen Ramsey should be really embarrassed. You're,
right.
You're the underdog by so many
points. You don't have anything
points.
To lose.
You're near a 10-point underdog in this game.
That's your 3 o'clock kickoff, game 1 of 2, Sunday's title game.
We are all Jaguars fans.
Yes. Yes, we are. In the NFC Championship game, the Vikings are traveling to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Head coach Mike Zimmer was meeting with the media in Minneapolis yesterday. And he's surprised that we're surprised that this is the final matchup in the conference.
Both teams have really good defenses, number one. And number two, I think, I can't speak for Foles right now because I haven't watched enough on him. But our guys played great all year long. And he's played, I don't know what his record is, 13-1 or something like that. So he's played good. But I think the thing that both the teams have, they both have good teams. You know, they have good offensive line. We have good offensive line. We have good defense, good receivers. I think it's a credit to Doug Peterson and things he's done there.
Zimmer was asked about Case Keenum being able to get the Vikings to the Super Bowl and the fact that everyone's been stunned by his performance.
I think y'all worry too much about stats, to be honest with you. I mean, guys go out and play, and they play, and they don't care if it's the game-winning drive in the fourth quarter or this guy kicked the field goal in the fourth quarter. They just play, and, that's what Case has done all year long. He's a battler, a fighter. He never flinches. He doesn't back down from anything, and, you know, that's just who he is. And so whether it's the fourth quarter playoff game or it's the fourth quarter of OTAs out here, I don't think he cares.
Keenum has been fantastic. And if he can finish the job here, if he can get a conference championship win, and then even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, let's say he plays well in the Super Bowl, it will be one of the more memorable football stories in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, there's a number of angles to this. This is now the new refrain of the coach that stats are for losers and all the.
I think that's always been a refrain of coaches.
Well, they use stats when it's convenient for them. When things aren't going well, hey, we're number 5 in yards per play. We're doing this with that, but this defense is actually better than you guys think. It just people will use it when it's convenient for them. That's number one. Number two, it's so funny to me that the idea all you have to do is have a backup quarterback. All you have to do is have an average underpaid quarterback. Case Keenum didn't do squat until he got here. Like he'd been in a bunch of different places and had lost his job or been beaten out or put up mediocre numbers, whatever else. And then all of a sudden he gets to a perfect situation. And so everyone's acting like you can just skip a bunch of steps. Underpay a marginal quarterback, and next thing you get to play for the NFC title game.
Right.
There's a lot of there's a missing of a great big long road. The Pacific Coast Highway is between just getting a bad quarterback and getting yourself to the NFC title game.
He was one of the four lowest rated passers in the league over the three seasons before this one. Is he better than Sam Bradford? Probably not. Is he better than Teddy Bridgewater? Probably not. I mean, last time we saw Teddy Bridgewater, the Vikings were in the playoffs. Last time we saw Sam Bradford healthy was week one. He was supposedly the MVP of the first week of the NFL season.
He was great against New Orleans that time.
On pace for 48 touchdowns or whatever after his 3-touchdown game. This is a really well-built team. And whoever was quarterbacking this team was going to look pretty good. But you still have to give Case Keenum some credit.
Of course.
For the way that he's comported himself, particularly over these last couple of weeks. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. ESPN.com has ranked the top 50 NFL free agents. Kirk Cousins is very, very high on this list. Was he number one? We will tell you next right here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We are on Twitter if you'd like to contact us that way, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for yours truly.
ESPN.com this morning put out a top 50 NFL free agents list with the caveat, of course, that you need to keep in mind that several of these players may not end up actually being free agents when the league year opens on March 12th. Some of these players could face the franchise tag when the transition and franchise period begins February 20th. Others could obviously re-sign with their current teams ahead of hitting free agency. But if I was to have told you, I know you've seen it already, Dan, that the top 50 ranking was done, where would you have guessed Kirk Cousins ranked?
I would have guessed around 5 because I know, again, we're talking technically. Drew Brees is technically a free agent.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell's technically a free agent. There are a couple guys that I would have put ahead of him if I had to guess.
I don't think you can put him lower than 3rd, my estimation, because you could potentially, the two guys you can make a case for ranking higher than him as free agents would be the aforementioned Le'Veon Bell and Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo, the case would be his age, 26, coming into the prime of his career, and basically being a guy that you'd build your franchise around for the next 12 seasons, perhaps, the way quarterbacks age at this point. I don't think you could put Drew Brees ahead of Cousins because he's almost 4. He'll be 39 this coming season.
That's true.
Among other guys. So to me, he wasn't going to be lower than 3rd. ESPN.com ranked Kirk Cousins 1st.
Number one.
The number one free agent in their top 50 this offseason, which is indicative of the track record over the last 3 seasons, combined with his age and the expected performance for whatever team gets him in the next couple of years. They're right up on Cousins, just a sentence or so here, says, after 2 years under the franchise tag, with combined earnings of nearly $44 million, Cousins has a chance to experience a rarity for upper-level quarterbacks, a true bidding war for his services. Unless the Redskins franchise him for a 3rd time to the tune of $34 million, Cousins could set a new bar for NFL contracts. 2nd on this list was Jimmy Garoppolo at 26.
Who showed really well in his final 5 games for San Francisco.
San Francisco really won all five of those games. He averaged about 300 yards passing per. He only had six touchdowns. I mean, there's some things you look at and you go, well, it wasn't amazing, but he was really, really good. And they beat some terrific teams, including Jacksonville, who they moved the ball on with ease. I was immensely impressed by Garoppolo. Somewhere between, probably, immensely impressed and blown away. Wasn't quite blown away, but I was really taken aback by how good he looked.
Really impressed. I don't think they had a ton around him offensively, and you saw that. Again, I wish I had better words than this, but you saw some of that playmaking gene that, again, I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, we're talking a five-game sample, but that you think he's under pressure, and it's a calm avoidance of it. It's a little bit buying extra time, kind of throwing in some unorthodox ways. He's athletic and spry in the pocket, can run when needed, extending plays. Had a couple just excellent throws. So the touchdown numbers don't blow you away, obviously, but if you saw it, if you watched him against Jacksonville, for example, you went, damn. You know what I mean? You saw a guy that you think this guy can play.
I would also point out that Kyle Shanahan's offense is just brilliant for quarterbacks. It's always going to make you look better. You're going to have wide open receivers. And it's why guys want to work with him to the extent that they do, just like they do with Sean McVay. And it's why Matt LaFleur, who's coached under both of those guys, is now getting interviewed randomly for the Tennessee Titans job a couple years after being an obscure quarterbacks coach in Atlanta with Matt Ryan. What they say about Garoppolo, though, is interesting because they basically point out that he should stay in San Francisco. They say the only way he gets out of San Francisco is if they just decide they don't want to give him maximum quarterback money based on five games. I guess I could understand that, but San Francisco needs to learn from Washington's mistake. Now, the Redskins were not sold on Cousins, and I think Garoppolo's upside and ceiling is even higher than Kirk's. Kirk's a fourth-round pick who didn't start for a few seasons. Similarly, Garoppolo was not taken in the first round, although he did go much higher in the draft. Sat around for a few years, but I just think when you watch him very early on in his career, you can see, as you said, some of those things you look for in quarterbacks, that it took a little bit longer even to see out of Kirk Cousins. I mean, some of us knew he could play right away, but he's still kind of making plays with his feet and developing off schedule. I think Garoppolo has some of those Carson Wentz boxes he can check a little bit, too.
It's a good way to put it. I mean, I think of what Cousins has and has always had is the drop is scheduled for five steps. If you see the safety in this certain spot and the linebacker, you know, has his feet turned this way or his hips are this way, deliver the ball to this receiver. If all those things line up, ball's out on time, it's accurate, but next play, right?
Yeah.
That's always been there. What hasn't been there, and I thought this year, as you touched on, took a massive step is, okay, that thing you thought was going to be there isn't there. Neither's the second thing, and maybe the third thing isn't either. So now what do? We've broken down. We break contain of the pocket. We either scramble for some huge first downs, or we can get off schedule and make a play or two. Garoppolo was born with that extend a play.
Right.
Does he have that robotic, you know, first three signs occur, that means this receiver is open, deliver the football on time. That's the thing you don't know, and that's, I think, what will be his big test in terms of growth.
Absolutely. They list him second among the free agents. And the quarterback position being as important as it is, the top two spots in free agency and three of the top four. They go Le'Veon Bell third, running back from Pittsburgh, got tagged this past season for $12 million.
He's only 26.
Now, for a running back, that's like being 30 at another position.
Sure.
He probably has a good three, four seasons left of dominant play, which is why he doesn't want to keep getting tagged, although I don't really understand that. Because if I'm him, I'll just take the $12 and $13 million fully guaranteed every single year and be fine with it. He has already said during the playoffs, as a matter of fact, as they were getting ready for a game that they would eventually lose, that he will hold out if he gets tagged and will contemplate and potentially even retire before he reports if he gets tagged a second time. There is actually a legitimate chance, if the Steelers don't want to pay him, that he ends up hitting the open market, I guess, if they believe his threats. Fourth on this list of best available free agents via ESPN.com is Drew Brees of the Saints. Brees said yesterday he's staying in New Orleans, so you can all but take him off of this list at this point. You could, I guess, take Garoppolo off as well, but I think there's less certainty there than there is with Drew Brees. Also, Brees is almost 40, maybe a couple years left. There have been a couple times where he's had some shoulder and arm issues and people started to worry about his longevity at this point. DeMarcus Lawrence ranks fifth. This is the Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman, who's only 26.
What a time for the breakout year, man.
Picked a perfect year to go get 14.5 sacks. My concern for him would just be signing with a 3-4 team. Because teams like Washington are going to potentially that need defensive line help could consider coming after him. Do you just go to a 4-3 team and say, this is what worked for me? I'm not going to pull a Jason Hatcher and go play in a 34 and be a shell of myself.
I think the scheme and fit. And that's part of the reason why, by the way, I've ultimately decided I think the Redskins need to go back to a 4-3 because trying to fit these square pegs into different round holes just hasn't worked the way that I want to. But that's another side item for another day. If I'm DeMarcus Lawrence, I do what got me this. You know what I mean? I'm not doing a – even if a 34 team is the highest bidder. Now, some guys just, you know, want the prestige and the money that comes with being the highest paid guy to have the second most sacks in the NFL. Let's, you know, go get paid as a defensive end would. To me, I say – I learn my cautionary tale from the Jason Hatchers of the world, where I go from one scheme that benefits me to another where I don't know. I don't choose the unknown if I'm having a breakout season just like this. I know these guys are mega confident, and that's kind of how they get to where they get. To me, I go, I need to be unlimited what I can do. That's get upfield every time in a 4-3. Let me do that.
They list Case Keenum of the Vikings number 6 on their list. He is a little bit older than Kirk Cousins. They'll both be in their age 30 seasons this coming year. I think that they're going to franchise tag him probably. I can't imagine they let him walk unless they could get a deal done. And maybe they can just, if he's very happy there and they've treated him well, maybe they could get a deal done for 3 years at, you know, $18 to $20 million a year or something like that.
Do you think he ends up getting that? I think someone's going to make a mistake and pay him like a regular, legitimate NFL starter.
Well, they'd have to turn down the opportunity first. I mean, they get to negotiate with him until free agency. I'll bet they'll offer him a multi-year deal. And if not, they'll consider franchise tagging him. Unless they want to bring back and re-sign a Sam Bradford or a Teddy Bridgewater. Here's the question for you, though, as we kind of go through these rankings on Grant and Danny. Cousins 1, Garoppolo 2, Le'Veon Bell 3, Breeze, and Case Keenum with DeMarcus Lawrence soon thereafter. Are you surprised that ESPN.com lists Kirk Cousins the number 1 of their top 50 free agents? Do you think that Garoppolo or Bell or Breeze or somebody like that should have been ahead of him? What does it mean that Kirk Cousins, this national publication ranking 50 free agents based on conversations they're having with people around the league, ranks Cousins number 1? We'll take your calls at 800-636-1067. Next, 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. That was Kirk Cousins when he joined us for our big event a couple of Fridays ago. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. ESPN.com ranked the top 50 free agents. They put Kirk Cousins number 1 on their list, Jimmy Garoppolo number 2. They didn't really specify as to why, but I think very simply it's track record. It's the fact that Cousins has been one of the better quarterbacks in the league statistically for 3 years. Garoppolo played at a very high level for 5 games. One is 26, the other is almost 30, which you'd say advantage Garoppolo there. But we're not pitting those two against each other as much as asking you, what does it mean that ESPN nationally ranked 50 free agents and they ranked Cousins number 1? A little bit later in the show, we could tell you where Bashaud Breeland ended up. He was in the top 20 pretty high. And also Terrell Pryor was a little bit higher than you would have thought as
both
well.
Both made it, yeah.
George, Fredericksburg, you're on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, guys. So I definitely agree with the whole Kirk Cousins being number 1. Now, if you ask me who's the best player on that list, it's not the top two quarterbacks. It's going to be Bell.
Right.
But, you know, quarterback is king in the NFL. So the most valuable player is going to be the quarterbacks. And, you noted on the head, Cousins has his track record more so than Garoppolo does. So that's why he'd be number 1. Now, another quick point I want to make about Keenum. I like Keenum, but I really have buyer's beware on him. He is a I think he just fits that system really well. He's got the 2 stud receivers. He's got a good running game. Pretty good offensive line, a solid defense. If you want to put him on a team, say like Cleveland, I think he'll go right into the dumpster.
Oh, of course he 100%. Would. There's no 100%. Doubt. And I don't think NFL executives would doubt that either. I guess the idea is you've now seen that you can win with him if you do everything right around him, which is still an accomplishment. It's a pretty big deal. There's a lot of guys in the league right now that aren't even starting who could have some success with the Vikings. You got a great running game, one of the best defenses in the league. If you're giving me that defense and those supporting cast members with him, I'll sign him in free agency.
Yeah, sign me up. His first point, though, I think is probably the best one. The quarterback is king. There are plenty of guys on this list that, are just judging via the position, are better players than Cousins and Garoppolo, for that matter. Andrew Norwell, who's 7th on this list. No one knows who he is. He's an all-pro guard from Carolina. It means he's one of the three best guards in the sport. DeMarcus Lawrence, who's fifth, was number two in the league in sacks as a pass rusher versus the competition, the second best player in the league this year. Nobody's disputing that thing, but because of the demand of the positions, you're going to see more pass rushers higher on this list than you'd see potentially running backs or wide receivers or whatever else. Jarvis Landry, I think, is the first receiver. He's at 11. Multiple quarterbacks in front of him. I think four in front of the first receiver. So you're right. The premium is at the QB.
To that point, I think some people will turn on the radio and go, oh my gosh, you got to put Le'Veon Bell ahead of Kirk Cousins. He's a much better player. Those are the same people that don't understand the value when we talk about how much Cousins could potentially make. And they say, he's not a $28 million a year quarterback. He should be making $18 million a year. Well, they don't understand how much money quarterbacks make. Just like, same conversation here. The value of the position means you rank it ahead of the running back position when you're ranking free agents. Mike's in Landover. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What up?
Good.
Basically, y'all hit the nail on the head, man. Basically, at the end of the day, because of the prominence of the quarterback position, he's ranked that high. Like you said, track record is involved with that. Over the last 3 years, one of the top 10 quarterback in the league. Younger than Breeze, but a little older than Garoppolo, but you have more of a teller to tape, per se, on Cousins instead of Garoppolo.
Yeah, good phrase, too, because you're right. There's a lot more tape. John, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, man.
Good.
Yeah, I think something that's really overlooked is durability at the position. Cousins had a lot of starts. I mean, I agree with track record, and that's the number one point. But the guy doesn't get injured. You can look at Sam Bradford, you know, RG3 when he was playing. Some guys can't stay on the field. And I thought it was interesting that when they traded Garoppolo, the Patriots, they knew they weren't going to go anywhere with, Brian Hoyer. But they had such confidence, even though the guy's 40 years old, the guy stays on the field. He's durable. And I think that's another attribute that people will see with Cousins, that he can play a whole season, 16 games, and stay on the field and not get injured. Some guys have that knack. I don't think it's a luck or bad luck or good luck. I think it's some guys stay on the field, know how to take hits, and other guys don't. So.
It's a great point. He didn't miss a snap via injury. Didn't have to come off, get looked at in the concussion protocol or anything over the last couple of years. He almost had to miss a snap, and he's lucky it was a fourth down where they faked a punt in that New Orleans game on the same play where Chris Thompson got hurt.
That's right. Yeah, good pull.
They faked a punt, and then on the first down, the next play, he was right back on the field, which shocked me, frankly. But he has been extremely durable, which is something you got to give him a lot of credit for. Brent Leesburg, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, dude.
Hey, great event, Jam and Java. Big fan of that event. You guys did a fantastic job.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming out, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, you guys did great. So am I surprised about Kirk being number one? Absolutely not, much like you, Grant and Danny. Knowing what he's done for 3 years with very little supporting cast, especially this year, am I surprised? No. We recognize his value. Are the dummies that call into your show that are anti-Kirk, are they surprised? Yes. Why are they surprised? Because even on a national level now, Kirk's getting the respect that he deserves in Bristow, the Donks in L.A., but the guys that don't know football or are anti-Kirk for whatever reason, those are the people that are surprised.
That's well said, and it really is. And there are a lot of people, small faction of the fan base, that are going to be shocked, I think, when they see that. But, again, this is how the market bears out. Brian Waldorf, curious to get your thoughts on what this means from the national perspective as opposed to the local perspective.
Kind of piggybacking what the previous caller just said, I think the ESPN ranking is indicative of how Kirk is viewed nationally, opposed to how he is viewed by some or many, however you want to look at it, locally. But I do wonder, the guys like the previous caller who kind of rags the quote-unquote dummies who don't want Kirk, do they ever consider that, I wonder, do these national guys actually watch as much of the Redskins as us local fans watch? And there are just some eye tests that Kirk may not pass for the local fans. Like, the national guys can pull the stats and all of that, but there are just certain eye tests that Kirk may not pass for us locals fans.
That's fair.
Totally. It's a thing. And let me offer the comp. The same way that everybody here is hyper-focused on Kirk, And you don't watch Phil Rivers make the same mistakes. You don't watch Carson Palmer make a backbreaking interception that cost Arizona the season. You don't watch last year
There's
Drew Brees with a terrible
guys who
game.
You really like, who you hear about being good all the time, that wouldn't pass your eye test either.
So they're doing nationally what we do locally, but just in reverse. They're taking a macro picture where, of course, they're not studying every throw that Kirk Cousins makes as a referendum. They don't do that. They don't have that luxury. They don't have that time. They have to take a big picture view, and that big picture view leads to analyses like this. Whereas locally, we're hyper-analyzing every step he takes. Every word he says is dissected. They don't have time at Bristol.
But at the same time, someone locally here might talk about, let's say, Jameis Winston or even Matt Stafford, or pick your quarterback, mm-hmm. Derek Carr, as if they're considerably better than Kirk Cousins coming into the year at some point during the year. And then if you go back and watch every one of their throws, you see some of the same mistakes, some of the same problems, some of the same issues. And at the end of the year, Cousins has better numbers than most of those guys. Grant and Danny on the Fan. 11 o'clock is next, which means we'll get the latest on the Redskins from our buddy Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. 1 o'clock today, our pal Dan Helley from NFL Network is going to help us preview the playoff games looming this weekend, conference title games in the AFC and NFC. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.